Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an extra bonus episode of the Wrestling Is Cool podcast. I'm Santi, that's Sancho. Today we're going to be predicting Money in the Bank in a couple of matches from Worlds Collide. Sancho, it is a jam-packed June 7th. I'm already thinking ahead to July 12th because of how jam-packed that is. But June 7th itself is also jam-packed. We've got Worlds Collide. And then an hour later, literally an hour gap, we have Money in the Bank. How are you feeling about this this Saturday coming up? Are you mentally and physically ready for this?
Oh, and you're forgetting in Fortnite, there's a Death Star event, my friend.
Of course, how could I?
Jam-packed, brother, jam-packed from bell to bell, as they say, from sunrise to sunset, sir.
Of course, how ignorant of me to forget the Death Star event. Is that like one of those, like a concert? Like, you know, I know you could do like the Sabrina Carpenter concert and stuff. You show up and see like a big event happening.
Well, it's more interactive than Sabrina. Yeah, but it's a mark of the end of the season and the start of the new one. And they're probably going to bring out a new map, but the Death Star is going to show up and blow that sucker up. You know what I'm saying? You're a Star Wars fan? You big Star Wars guy?
I watched all of Star Wars. I like Star Wars. I wouldn't qualify myself like as this big Star Wars fan. Like, if you want me to dig deep into lore, I'm not your guy.
But you're a WWE lore guy, huh?
Yeah. Like, I'll tell you, like, if you were to ask me some basic stuff, like, what's my favorite lightsaber battle? I'd be like, oh, of course, like, it's going to be Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul. That thing was wild, brother. All right, man, you want to talk about doing the job, selling out? That right there, that's professional wrestling at its finest.
I thought you literally going to say it's going to be Bloodline Rules. It was there.
It was there. But you're right.
Who's the Darth Maul of the WWE?
Oh,
like, really look cool, head to toe. You're like, dude is a badass. He could whip, and then just gets in the big WrestleMania moment. You know what I mean?
Ooh, because I was going to say like Architect Seth Rollins with how well he moved.
Oh.
He kind of did, and his gear kind of gave a little bit of Darth Maul vibes. But unlike Darth Maul, this guy actually got over in the WrestleMania big moment. He actually won the big one. So I don't know that necessarily makes him the Darth Maul of the wrestling universe.
I don't know, man. You got to really think about it.
We'll put a pin in it for the full podcast, because in this one, we are just predicting the weekend of wrestling. We're going to go through each match. We won't go through every match in Worlds Collide. We've handpicked a couple of like the more important ones, because Worlds Collide is full of a lot of multi-person tag matches. And I feel like, understandably so, right? If you're trying to introduce as much of the AAA roster as possible, I feel like I will be fine with all of these like six-man tag matches. Sure, let's go ahead. Introduce the world to Dr.
Iguana.
Wagner Jr.
Mr. Iguana. The guy had a puppet. I was like, wait a minute. Whoa.
Dude, I was laughing because Cole didn't say Mr. Iguana when they were talking. And then Pat goes, and then there's Mr. Iguana. That's the guy you really got to look out for.
I think the world is definitely going to be kind of surprised about the world of the Luchador and AAA. It feels it's going to be interesting. I mentioned this to you off the pod. I was saying, I wish it was a true World Collide. We'll talk about it more in the main podcast, where it felt like a clashing of the styles. This just felt like, hey, you got luchadors, we got luchadors, we're all luchadors, let's use your luchadors. And you got LWO Legado doing their thing, which is fine, but even a Damian Priest would have been a hot pick in there in the World Collide. Campeon.
It does feel like it's all right, you guys bring your luchadors, we'll bring our luchadors and Ethan Page.
the best of our, even a guy who's moonlighting as a luchador.
Yes.
Help it make sense, Santi. Help it make sense.
All right, we'll do some of the marquee Worlds Collide matches first, and then we'll go into Money in the Bank. So let's start off with that fatal four-way for the North American Championship between champion Ethan Page, Javon Evans, Laredo Kid, and Rey Fénix. We were talking about, this show not necessarily featuring a clash of styles. I like this as a Worlds Collide moment, because it does sort of feel like Ethan Page has been teleported into a different realm and is now surrounded by people that do not obey the laws of gravity. And that feels worlds collide-y, in my opinion. I'll take this one first since it's mostly an NXT thing and this is kind of like my bread and butter. I am keeping the title on Ethan Page. I think ultimately the play is Ethan Page losing this to Javon Evans a little bit further down the line, maybe like a Great American Bash. I don't see this being the place where titles swap brands. I know that it's recently happened with TNA, but I don't think it's going to be this particular show where we see that between AAA or NXT. We might never see that, by the way. They might just keep AAA to AAA, NXT to NXT. I'm keeping Ethan Page here. I think that this has the potential to be the best match of the night just with the talent that's there. Give me Ethan Page to retain and continue his feud against Javon Evans, maybe at Great American Bash.
Now, I'm going to come at this as someone who doesn't watch NXT religiously like you. My pick's going to be the Laredo Kid. Okay. I like the Laredo Kid. He's from Laredo. I'm from Laredo. But the reason why I think this could be a very interesting pick for the win is to give that notion that anything could happen in these colliding of AAA and WWE, where they could kind of start off on the right foot when it comes down to, hey, a title could change hands. They are on equal levels of playing ground, unlike the TNA relationship that they have with WWE. I think the main difference between AAA and TNA and the WWE is that AAA is actually owned by TKO. Like, they're part of that umbrella, whereas TNA is a collaboration effort. So if the WWE wants to create some great headlines to give some good feels to reassure the fans of the AAA community, like, hey, we're not just going to here to overpower you, put the belt on Laredo Kid. Laredo Kid does have TNA experience. Laredo Kid is a great luchador, and I like Laredo Kid a lot in terms of in-ring. And so he's not a complete, lack of a better word, a foreigner into the world of wrestling here in the States because he has that TNA relationship. So, hey, put the belt on Laredo Kid, dude. Put Laredo more on the map, and that's going to boost up the possibilities of Roxy winning and Money in the Bank. We'll get more into that later.
You know what? After Stephanie Vacher lost her NXT championship, I think anything is possible. Like, you sold me on it. I like the idea. I'm still sticking with Ethan Page. I think it's a safer option. I think part of the reason why I'm sticking with Ethan Page is because he literally just won this last week against Ricky Saints. So I have a hard time visualizing Ethan Page being a one-week transitional champion when you could have just had Ricky Saints in this situation if the plan was to take the title and put it on Laredo Kid. So I'm going to stick with Ethan Page here, but I think we can move on. So you've got Laredo Kid, I've got Ethan Laredo Page. Kid. This match is going to be awesome. And yeah. I think, honestly, the only other one that's worth really predicting here is the main event. Hijo del Vikingo going up.
Mr. Iguana doesn't deserve your respect.
I'm sorry. What else is there? Aerostar, Mr. Iguana, Octagon Jr.
Hey, you're going to fall in love with one of these luchadors. Psycho I guarantee clown. It. I guarantee it. You're going to walk away from Worlds Collide going, ooh, all right, I'm a psycho clown knight. You know what I mean?
I don't know that I'm going to walk out being a psycho clown knight. Hijo del Vikingo defending his newly won. Man, what a shock. What a surprise. Whoa, crazy.
Wait a minute.
His newly won AAA Mega Championship against Chad Gable. First and foremost, I haven't seen the Hijo del Vikingo versus El Patron match. Have you heard about it?
I heard about it. Yeah,
I heard it was crazy. I heard it was basically Mexican bloodline rules, like with just how much interferences there were. I haven't seen it myself, but I'm excited to see it. I'll give you the floor since I took the last one.
This is going to be one of those matches that it's so for me when you double book allegedly Chad Gable and Grande Americano, I don't know if Chad Gable could necessarily pull off two feats in one day. One of them is going to have to suffer, right? I think Vikingo is going to have to win this one again to establish the relationship that we're not here to dominate. It would be if it was Grande Americano, I would probably lean more towards Grande Americano being the mega champion, running around and getting some real mega heat for not only him, but the WWE, and then set up something further down the line in Mexico where he has to defend that belt. I think that would be a much more interesting route. But having Chad Gable, and you have to remember, there's the WWE side of this. He is there to go up against his ghost of mastering the arts of luchador. So that is the Chad Gable side of things, that he still hasn't beaten this ghost of luchadors that he needs to get off his back. But I think if the WWE wants to stay away from this imperialism that they're kind of slowly forming this attitude about it, and to get some proper headlines, I think Viking Go would be the way to do it. And I think Viking Go seems like the much more climactic winner than a Chad Gable. Does that make sense? Like, there's like the crescendo of the Worlds Collide, the celebration, this new the revamping of the Worlds Collide, bringing that back. And I really do believe Rey Mysterio, if you talk about Mexican bloodline rules, Rey Mysterio, he's on the poster, for crying out loud. I think Rey Mysterio will make an appearance in this match, helping Viking Go secure the dub. And American Made will probably come out for Chad Gable as well. So we're going to get more of that AAA clashing with the WWE American Made and maybe form a match at Mania down the line.
You say a match at Mania, WrestleMania or Triple Mania? Because Triple Mania, Triple Mania is also around the corner. And I was looking at Triple Mania. We already have Los Garzas in Triple Mania challenging for the AAA World Tag Team Championship. So it's possible that they might be setting up something for Triple Mania as opposed to WrestleMania. But listen, Chad Gable has not been able to beat luchadors. That's the gimmick, right? El Grande can beat luchadors. Chad Gable loses to luchadors. Chad Gable is losing here. Tinfoil hats on for a second. Let's pretend that Chad Gable and El Grande Americano are the same person for the rest of this conversation.
It's the same place.
Okay, assuming they're the same person, I think it's crazy that he is main eventing this show in what will be undeniably a hard-hitting, high-flying match filled with scary moves. If you've seen Vikingo matches, this is going to be a match that has a lot of risk to it. And this is closing the show. And then an hour later, not the kickoff, but Money in the Bank starts. So in theory, Chad Gable is going to have what, tops 2.5 hours if the men's Money in the Bank is closing Money in the Bank to recover from this match. That is a level of trust that I don't know that I've seen WWE give to anybody since like Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30. Obviously, bigger stakes there, way bigger stakes, but the level of work rate that's being asked out of the body of Chad Gable is crazy. But I think he's going to be the MVP of this weekend. I can't wait to see this match. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm with you. I think Vikingo is going to win this. I think they need to establish some sort of supremacy. Like, hey, yeah, Ethan Page won his match against our cherished Laredo kid, but our Vikingo, he stood tall at the end of a WWE show in the United States. I'm taking Vikingo.
Dog, I wanted to take your tinfoil hat even further, that Chad Gable and Grande Americano, the psyche, starts to break his mental. That he can't, like, he starts to just become Grande Americano because it's the only way he finds success. And then the true lesson is you got to be yourself to really embrace success. Does that make sense? Like, you can be successful and not be yourself, but is that the real way to be success? And go even further, maybe he doesn't make it. Maybe he's too hurt to go on to perform. And guess who comes in? Karrion Kross, baby, steps right into Money in the Bank. Owls right in the world. And then he wins, but his win doesn't count because he wasn't officially part of the match. Dude, there's been weird things in the Royal Rumble. Remember when Becky just stepped in at number 30 for, who was it that got hurt?
Lana.
Was it Lana? Yes. Yeah. So, hey, come on now, brother.
Hell, Brock Lesnar grabbed the briefcase and he wasn't even in the match. So anything is possible. James Ellsworth won the match for Carmella once by grabbing the briefcase and then throwing it down to her. So anything is possible, except that Karrion Kross, probably not.
But it won't be that.
It won't be that. All right, let's move over to Money in the Bank. Let's start off with the non-ladder matches here. We can kick things off with Lyra Valkyria defending her Women's Intercontinental Championship against Becky Lynch. There is a stipulation. It is a lucha de apuesta, technically a wager match, where if Lyra Valkyria wins, Becky Lynch will no longer be able to challenge for the Women's Intercontinental Championship so long as Lyra is champion. And if Becky wins, then Lyra will need to raise Becky's hand, demonstrating that she is the better woman. Sancho, thoughts?
Have you felt that this feud has been built in a weird, like, old school 80s, 90s way? Like, the way Becky Lynch is kind of deferring a lot of, like, falling into Lyra's traps, into like really boosting her promo. Like, they're trying to be the complete opposite of Charlotte and Tiffy, to the point where it is like old school 90s, where Lyra's a pure babyface, and the dastardly heel and Becky Lynch is, it's a hair over the top, but I feel like it's just the right amount of cheesiness to push this title forward into this spot. And to answer your question, who do I think is win? I think you, to in order to continue this friction and to maybe add, as the word we've been looking for the longer time for these mid-card women's titles, prestige, is to put the belt on Becky Lynch. I never as a fan of, hey, if I win, if you lose, you can never challenge for this title again, because what does that mean? Isn't that the way it usually goes? You just go back of the line anyway? Like, I'm so confused by that stipulation. And I think for Lyra to have some strife to overcome something, because she hasn't really overcame anything on the main roster in a while, just to have to question herself, is she is not the better woman. She has been always been kind of in this position that she is the best wrestler in terms of working rate in the IC title picture in the mid card for the women. She did not have a great showing at the Royal Rumble. And I thought that would be a great starting point to kind of chip away at that persona of her being Lyra Vicaria. But I think this will be the first real opportunity to crack that armor and see what is the true metal of Lyra Vicaria and see if she can recover and regain her IC title if Becky Lynch wins. But I do think she does. Becky Lynch for the dub, sir.
You know what? I feel like we're in the same page here. I'm also taking Becky Lynch here. Becky Lynch has become just such an integral part of this Women's Intercontinental Championship rise overall that removing her from the picture by having her lose here honestly would be a little bit of a bummer. I think that Becky can win in such a way where you can still protect Lyra and build up to maybe an even bigger match at Women's Evolution, maybe the trilogy, maybe Becky wins because of an accidental interference from Bayley. Bayley, who still has this problem with Becky Lynch, maybe inadvertently helps Becky Lynch win in an attempt to take her out or whatever it might be. So I am going to go with Becky Lynch because I want that feud to continue. I will say I feel like the most recent promo, the go-home promo, didn't really do anything for me in terms of getting me more excited for this match. Not because I thought the promo was bad, but because I feel like they've hit their ceiling of what they can do with words. Now we need to see what they can do in the ring. How can they top their fantastic Backlash match? I'm really, really excited for what they can do from an in-ring perspective, what they can do to be creative, to be better than their fantastic match at Backlash. So I am going to go with Becky Lynch because I want to see this go through right to Evolution, because I want a hot feud for that women's IC title to be at that show. And starting a brand new one right now, I don't think it's it. I think it has to be the finale of Becky and Lyra in some capacity, maybe featuring Bayley in a triple threat. I don't know. All I'm saying is Women's Evolution, I need the continuation of this. And for that to take place, I need Becky Lynch to win. So Becky Lynch. All right. Moving on here to the other non-ladder match, we have the laziest booked match in the history of Money in the Bank. We have Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso taking on the dastardly team of John Cena and Logan Paul. I can kick this one off. I've already complained at length about the laziness of this match. To be fair, you know, trying to find a little bit of a silver lining, this is a norm at Money in the Bank. The last two Money in the Banks before this had a marquee champion being stuck in a championship, in a non-championship tag team match. 2 years ago, it was Bloodline Civil War. However, that was an awesome story and one of the best stories of the year and an excellent match. And it was absolutely something that we wanted to see in that environment. And then last year, not my favorite match, but I thought that it was earned. Teemu Bloodline versus Team Cody Rhodes. Okay, you told this story for a couple of months, and we got here organically. We're doing it again, but this time it didn't feel like we got here organically. It feels like we just got here simply because WWE was handcuffed between Saturday night's main event, between building to this inevitable Jey Uso Gunther rematch that they decided to do not at Money in the Bank. So they just sort of created a hodgepodge of things that I just don't think has been successfully built upon. And we will end up getting two promos in total between all of them. Maybe if we get one on the go-home episode of Friday Night SmackDown. Lazy, lazy booking, lazy storytelling, dare I say no storytelling at all. So I'm basically going off of wrestling logic as opposed to storyline ramifications here for my prediction. Cody Rhodes and John Cena both need to be protected. They are clearly building towards those two having a big matchup. Jey Uso needs to be protected because 2 days later he has a match against Gunther. That kind of leaves us with Logan Paul as odd man out. Logan Paul is going to take the pin. Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso are going to win. That's it. Thoughts, queries, concerns?
Well, it depends on where this match is. I think this match will only add to the drama of Money in the Bank if it's the last match of
the night. That's a great point. That is an excellent point you make there. Yes.
Yes. You have both champions available to be cashed in on. Then all depends on who wins the men's Money in the Bank. So if this match goes last, I think that's where I like to call this match a prop match. It's a way to get the drama in the door. It's a way to sell tickets, but it's a way to set the stage for a possibility for the heist, another heist of the century, right? But knowing the WWE, we wanted Tiffany Stratton to cash in at War Games. We were like, for the love of God, we've never seen this before, ever. Cash in at War Games, and there was that moment she was standing there and looking at both champions. They were like, oh my God, it's going to happen.
Even Crown Jewel. They had multiple opportunities to do something new with two champions in the ring at the same time.
So maybe, Santiago, maybe they do it here. And maybe this is where they pull the trigger and they get the cash in here. And it would be a wild way to get the belt off of John Cena here right now, considering that I would say he's in mid-stride of his ruining wrestling campaign. And I think the only thing I would push back on is that there is a story here, and it is haphazardly put together, where John Cena is trying to ruin wrestling and he's teaming up with Logan Paul. My biggest disservice to this entire thing, and I think you have the same sentiment, is that when I watched the recent Royal Rumble for the women, I thought there was so much potential in this Royal Rumble. And I'm one episode away from wrapping up the Royal Rumble in review on Patreon. When I said there was so much potential, and it made me upset that they really fully hit that high stride. You have Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, and that Rumble never just hit that great high that we were looking for. John Cena and Logan Paul could have been magical. They could have gone around. They could have gone on talk shows together. They could have yucked it up. They would have been a fun collaborative promos to have together, backstage vignettes, John Cena at his house, at Logan's house. Like, there's so many opportunities, but we're just in a time crunch, and we're going to miss all that. So I think that maybe that's what you're a little irked about. But if I had to pick a winner, I don't think this match is here for a clear winner. I think the team of Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso does win, considering that Cody Rhodes has returned and he needs a win. But I think this is going to be used for a cash-in opportunity, and we'll get into that depending on who wins the Money in the Bank.
All right, let's get into Money in the Bank matches. We'll start off with the women here. And arguably, Sancho, in my history of watching Money in the Bank matches, maybe the most stacked Money in the Bank ladder match that I've ever seen. Not maybe necessarily in star power, albeit a ton of star power is in this match, but in terms of, I think I could make a good case for every single one of these women to be the one to win the Money in the Bank briefcase. And that is a rarity. We have Alexa Bliss versus Roxanne Perez versus Rhea Ripley versus Julia versus Naomi versus Stephanie Vaquer. I'll run with this one since you took the last. No, actually, no, you take this one. I took the last one. Trying to be polite here.
I appreciate it. You're such a gentleman. There's two options you could take this route that I think are the strongest. I do agree with you that anyone could win. I don't think Julia is a strong picker right now. She's just getting started.
They spoiled it, but by her going after the U.S. title, which is a good idea. But I wish they had gone towards that after the Money in the Bank. It's like, at least make me pretend like Julia had a chance.
The title, that United States title, means a lot of love. If Chelsea Green gets the most pops with your champion in the ring, I don't know. I don't want to put all blame on Zelina. I think it's Zelina's booking, definitely, and her presentation.
Has she cut a promo as champion?
No. That's what I mean. So, right? Her booking and producing is causing Zelina, she's the best talker. I think, who was it? Weezy said, give the mic to Zelina? Or no, Zelina wanted the mic herself, and Weezy was like, that's what she's been saying for a long time. My point is saying you got two routes here, Santi. If you want to go with the Summer of Judgment Day, you give it to Roxy. Mm-hmm. You want to add spice to that, want to add seasoning, want to make Dominic Mysterio more attracted to Roxy in the sense of like, oh, she's alluring, she's winning, she has the Money in the Bank. when you make Liv more paranoid that she's losing, that yes, she is the tag team hold, maybe they lose the belts too. I mean, they're causing Liv Morgan to lose and lose and lose, Raquel to lose and lose and lose. And they're making Roxy win and win and win with Judgment Day. She literally helped out JD and Finn Balor. So they're causing this rift in between. And what a best way to cause the biggest rift than to have the Money in the Bank briefcase for Roxy. And Judgment Day, I know they recently had the Money in the Bank before with El Campeon, with Señor Money in the Bank. I think it would be a great kind of a great accessory for them. And Triple H does really well with women's Money in the Bank. So I'm going to say Roxy would be my grade A choice. My side B, if I could get one, my second choice would be Naomi. That would be if you want to really continue this drama and saga of Bianca and Jade Cargill. If you want to give Naomi that idea of the gimmick of proceed with caution, she's always in the background, she's ready to strike to continue that. She is one of the most scariest women on the roster. If you want to build up that alluring gimmick a little bit more, you want to add shine to it, you give the briefcase to Naomi. And then she could do some really cool things to gimmick it up with the caution tape and all that kind of fun things. I think if you want a story that builds to WrestleMania, you give it to Naomi. If you want a fun story that will be for the summer, you give it to Roxy. But my choice is Roxy here.
All right. It's interesting. I think that we are a little bit different. I'm less sold on Roxy. I think my two options here are Naomi as my favorite and Stephanie Vacher as my second kind of like wild card horse. I'll explain my Stephanie.
Are you Booker T? Pat did the wrong thing. I was like, no, Pat, yeah. It's not. Ooh, it's
Yeah. Pat's got to learn. He'll learn. And maybe stick with me here. The reason I'm heavily considering Stephanie Vacher here is predominantly because I see her almost as a way for WWE to attempt to redo what they wanted to do desperately with Finn Balor when Finn Balor was initially called up. The rocket ship to the moon push.
The Universal Champion Finn Balor? That push?
Yeah, yeah, where they put the Universal title. They put the red Universal title on him within his first like month and a bit of being on the main roster. That would be a wild, wild thing to do with Stephanie Vacher, but I could see it. I see a lot of parallels there between a Finn Balor and a Stephanie Vacher, both in terms of their aura, in terms of how respected they already are, in terms of their experience around the world. If WWE wanted to make a statement with, hey, NXT matters, oof, for them to put it on Stephanie Vacher would be awesome. And they could keep it on Stephanie Vacher for a long time. They don't have to do an early cash in or anything like that. They could allow her to develop as La Primera Money in the Bank or La Primera in the Bank or whatever the hell they end up coming up with, whatever cheesy ass moniker they always do.
If they could figure out how to make the briefcase float so that she doesn't carry it, that'd be sick.
Oh, that'd be
like
sick.
Like it just follows her, right? It's like she has so much aura. Can you do that with it? Can you do this as cool as her?
No, I've tried numerous times in the mirror and it just doesn't work.
Let me see it. No, you did it wrong. It goes.
I know. I ended up doing the. Yes, brother. I ended up doing the. sketch. I ended up doing the sketch, brother. I'm going to go with Naomi. I feel like when I look at what we're dealing with on SmackDown with Bianca Belair, that they're clearly insistent on bringing back. Even as a character, when she's not physically ready yet, tells me, Sancho, that they are gunning for the big three triple threat, right? Naomi, Bianca, Jade Cargill. SummerSlam or Evolution, they're both right there, right? I think that that's a very clear end goal for one of those two shows. If they're already bringing back Bianca to re-engage this story, I think that that match should be for a world title. And I think the way that we get there is by Naomi winning the briefcase, cashing it in on Tiffy, and going into that triple threat as the women's champion. I also believe, and I've said this before, that Naomi as a babyface was always fun, but she was always the fifth or sixth most popular babyface on the roster. They have the opportunity right now, Sancho, to take this evil heel Naomi, who has raised her ceiling by a significant margin, and make her the top heel in women's professional wrestling at the moment. Professional wrestling, even to the point of like maybe surpassing like a Mercedes Moné, Right now, Toni Storm's a babyface, so you don't have Toni Storm to compete with as the top heel in women's wrestling.
What about Megan Bain, brother?
Yes, brother. I like Megan Bain, but she's not in the world title picture.
She's just starting. She's
getting her feet wet, and she's going to be cooking a lot. But that is the ceiling that I see at the moment for a Naomi. They could turn her into the top women's heel in professional wrestling. If not wrestling, WWE for sure has to be in play. And I think a great way to do it right now is with her running around with that caution tape briefcase and cashing in on one of two beloved babyface champions right now, Io and Tiffany Stratton. I think it's so perfect. It's right there. Naomi is what I'm going with.
I like that. And I think we just need a break from Nia Jax as being the big heel of the women's division.
Yeah. I feel like WWE has missed that, right? Like the big heel. Who's been the biggest heel? Liv? And she's been great. But beyond Liv.
It was Nia for a while.
I know, but like that wasn't awesome. I'm talking like great top heel in the WWE. I think it was
Ripley with Judgment Day.
But she's not heel anymore, right? So we have a big vacuum right there available. And Liv is becoming so popular and beloved that I think at any moment with this storyline, they're going to turn her babyface too. So I feel like they need to capitalize on this Naomi.
Dom going heel again. Another heel turn for Dom.
Heel cubed. Isn't that what that's called? The three is not cubed?
Yeah.
All right, so you're going predominantly Roxy with a kicker of Naomi. I'm going Naomi with a kicker of Stephanie Vacher.
Okay,
all right.
Fair. I think that's fair for Money in the Bank. We could have like a fun pick, and you know, it's like you take the serious pitcher and then you do the fun pitcher. You know,
I feel like we both agree. Who is the worst option to win this? Should we do a countdown?
One, two, three.
Rhea Ripley. She doesn't need it. It'd be redundant, right? It'd be redundant. Yes. She doesn't need it. It's not us saying that we don't like Rhea. She'd probably be a good Miss Money in the Bank. Honestly, she'd probably be entertaining. Mommy in the Bank, bro. Do you know how much that would sell? The merchandise of Mommy in the Bank? It's redundant. It's putting ice cubes in an ice bucket. It's already cold, brother. It's already keeping itself cold. It's unnecessary. She is a walking briefcase, as you've said before. She can get championship opportunities, and it makes sense. She doesn't need this plot device.
She proved it last Mania.
Literally. Yes. All right, let's go over to the men's Money in the Bank. You know, we talked about how stacked the women's Money in the Bank and how just balanced it is across the board. The men's is wacky, dude. This is maybe one of the wackiest Money in the Bank fields that I've ever seen. We've got Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, Penta, my Reeves, Seth Rollins, Andrade, and El Grande Americano. Wild field. Like I'm just reading it out loud. It is an insane field. I guess I'll take this one here. At face value, the only one that I'm like, oh, that's a sure thing that they'll run around with the briefcase and it's gonna go well is Seth Rollins, right? That to me is like the one like lock. If you want to go the safest route, it's Seth Rollins. It fits the character that he has. It fits the motivations of the character that he's already outlined. However, I don't think that that's going to be the case. I feel like what we're going to see in this match is CM Punk or Roman Reigns costing Seth Rollins. I think it's inevitable. It's like every summer, Sancho, where a big faction constantly gets involved in a match on Monday Night Raw. The last couple of years, it was the Judgment Day. This year, it's Seth Rollins' faction. And I think that all of that, those interferences against Sami Zayn and Punk and Jey Uso are going to come to bite them in the ass here. And Roman and or CM Punk will cost Seth Rollins this match. When I look at the rest of the field, it's fascinating, dude, because I look at a Solo Sikoa. That would be bold. That would be bold, but I don't think that would land very well. Andrade already feels like he's already, he feels like Charlie, like he's lucky to be in the Chocolate Factory tour. You know what? All the other kids here, they're rich. They found, they spent money. They got here, because that's the people that were supposed to be here. It feels like you just found the golden ticket by chance, Andrade. I don't think that you're going to be winning the Chocolate Factory at the end of this. I think he's there for the cool spots. That leaves us Penta, El Grande Americano, and LA Knight to me as the most viable options to win this. I'm going to go with LA Knight. I feel like he fits the mold the best. I do think he fits the mold the best. After 3 years of him being the favorite, I think it's time to finally pull the trigger on him. The thing is that the landscape of champions maybe doesn't suit LA Knight the best, but he can hold on to this thing for a really long time. I think it'd be fine. So I'm going to go with LA Knight almost by process of elimination here, because I just don't see WWE giving it to Penta or El Grande Americano. What are you thinking?
Wow. The transformation is complete. Mm-hmm. Yes, rise. I've turned you into an LA Knight fan. I think LA Knight as winner is 2 years too late, unfortunately.
That's fair.
LA Knight winning Money in the Bank in Los Angeles just sounds too good to be true. And you may be wondering why, Sancho. You're the number one LA Knight glazer. You are the owner and proprietor of the Glaze Factory, where LA Knight is the main star, the megastar of the glaze. I understand. But man, Triple H has broken me down. It doesn't matter if you're a hometown kid and you grow your hometown, you're going to wrestle in Mania. They're going to have you lose. You're going to eat a pin, brother. Fortunately, LA Knight falls short here. I think there's too much at stakes. Now, I would agree with you that if LA Knight, if the men's Money in the Bank is the first match of the night, sure, give the bank to LA Knight. Or the last match of the night, give it to LA Knight. That makes sense. But if it's the first match, I think Seth Rollins is going to be the pick, because he's going to be the one lurking in the background to cash in the tag team title match that will happen at the main event, because you have main event Jey Uso, yeah, Cody Rhodes, Logan Paul, and John Cena. Too many big names not to have at the main event of Los Angeles.
It is interesting, though, because like let's say that this match closes. Then at that point, I'm like, that's where they bring back Roman. That's where they're going to that's the big star, the big pop,
right?
Main event. Send them home happy with they got to see Roman. Maybe they get two pops. Maybe they get a CM Punk pop and then a Roman pop. That sounds main event worthy stuff, right? That doesn't sound like an opener. I think you're making a really, really good point. I feel like if we knew the order of the matches, it'd be far easier for us to really look into the future. I see this main eventing, Sancho, because I don't see, again, tinfoil hats on, Chad Gable and El Grande Americano only going an hour between matches, especially when they're not in the same building. I know it's like across the street, but it's still not the same building. It's a high-flying match that's going to require a lot of cardio. I think they're going to try and give, tinfoil hat, Chad Gable as much runway as possible to be able to recover and put on the El Grande Americano mask. That's why I think that's main eventing.
But very possible. My pick is going to be Seth Rollins, because it just adds so much drama. And since Triple H has been rumored to dislike the gimmick, the match of Money in the Bank, to dislike the prop of the Money in the Bank, because he never won it, mehaps, I think they're going to definitely have that way to burn it to that night. It's going to be burned. It's going to be tossed into the fire, because it's too complicated for him to deal with in the men's scene. He's fine within the women's scene, which is fine, because, you know, sometimes it worked in the past with Tiffy, but Drew McIntyre, alas, chunked it into an already volcanic fire with the feud that didn't need it. So here I am. He's going to burn it with Seth Rollins. I think it's the play to make, and then that's where Roman comes in to stop the cash in. That's where a possible CM Punk, like all that stuff happens.
I hate it, but I see it.
Then you have Roman and Cody and Jay. That's your final. Not Roman Reigns and LA Knight shaking hands. Like, hey, brother. Hey. I love LA Knight, but unfortunately, like I said, the train has passed with LA Knight. Honestly, again, Karrion Kross should have been in this match just to give us that hope spot. I like the idea. My other fun pick, my silly pitcher, is Grande Americano. Just to, for the busty on the minds, the Bruce Banner and Hulk.
I agree.
They have to then separate to two completely different type of
characters. It would be funny that if El Grande Americano won Money in the Bank briefcase, seeing the internal conflict of Chad Gable not being able to celebrate it because he's selling the fact that it's not him. There's comedy there. The splitting personalities.
If you want to have fun, if Triple H says, you know what, if we can't have it in the main event, we can't have it affect all this. Let's have some fun shenanigans with it. Let's give Chad Gable something interesting to do for the year. I think that would make people upset, but that, yeah, again, that has to happen. The last image of Money in the Bank Los Angeles, Grande Americano going, gracias!
Speaking of gracias, muchas gracias for listening to this extra bonus episode of the Wrestling is Cool podcast. Don't forget that you'll be getting a full episode later on in the week if you're a free listener, or this will actually be out on the same day as the full podcast if you're a Patreon. Patreon.com/SantiZav. Go check it out. All the extra content is over there. We'll see you guys in the next one. Make sure to come by to any one of our live streams for Money in the Bank if you want some friends to be able to watch. We'll be on Sancho's platforms, on my platforms. Pick and choose. You'll have a great time either way. You guys take care. Be wonderful people.